Praise, worship, and glorify your holy name. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for all you've done for us. Thank you for this wonderful day today. Thank you, the fact that this country is celebrating its 244th birthday. Young by many standards, but still the greatest country in the world. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Glory to your holy name. So happy birthday, USA. Yay. So they tell me that when I do these messages, I talk too fast sometimes. And there's a very, very simple reason for that. It's because I get paid by the word. But seriously, this is a great country. Yes, we got lots of problems, lots of challenges, things we need to work through. But this is a country where we can talk about challenges and issues like no other. Now, Galatians 5:1 says, stand fast, therefore, in liberty by which Christ has made us free. Do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. And what we're going to talk about today is one of the things that made us free. Now, the Bible is without a doubt the most important document in the world. However, this here, the Declaration of Independence, is, in my opinion, the second most important piece of paper ever put into effect. This is the paper that rallied the colonists to unify to create the only Christian-based government in the world at that time. Its purpose was to gain liberty and bondage from the tyrant, King George III, because he trampled on religious freedom and made people downtrodden all over the world. The United States of America was intended to be a country where people could be free to serve Jesus. As you look at this document, certain words stand out. First of all, the separation and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitled them. Nature's God. They were Christian men. They knew who God was. They believed in God strongly. And people try to tell you today that they didn't. Anytime you want to have a discussion about that, I'll be glad to put up all kinds of evidence that these men were godly, godly men. We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal. They are endowed by their creator, keyword creator, with certain unalienable rights that among their life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Now the keyword there is pursuit. It doesn't guarantee happiness, but that with these freedoms, you're able to pursue your happiness the way you determine is right within certain limitations of the law. If you decide you want to become a pastor, you can do that. If you decide you want to live a secular life, you can do that. If somebody out there decides to be homosexual, they can do that. They have those rights and freedoms here. But with those freedoms comes a responsibility. If they go out and become homosexual or do something, they're responsible for their own problems that come with doing that lifestyle. With freedom comes responsibility. Now, the men that signed these papers were certain to have been tortured and put to death if they had failed. They were very wealthy men. They could have very easily lived comfortably for the rest of their lives, but they put it all on the line so that you and I today have this freedom that we're doing right now. We have the freedom to worship our God and the freedom to declare that Jesus is Lord over the world. Now, yes, many men owned slaves, and that's a big issue today. They were imperfect. And slavery is a horrible, horrible thing. And people ask, how could they even tolerate slavery? How could they do that? So I asked the Lord that question. I says, how could people tolerate a slavery back then? His response to me was, how can people tolerate abortion today? I want you to think about that. Abortion is today the sin of the world. Slavery of that day, at least here in the United States, was a sin of the world. There are sins all over the world. They're continuous and never ending. We have to work on ourselves to be better. Now, this paper did set up the structure to end slavery here in the USA. We had a civil war. They recently raised the estimates to almost 900,000 men who died fighting the Civil War. Just under a million. Now, that's the ones who were dead during the wartime. It does account those who were wounded or caught some kind of illness and died a couple years later because of their battle injuries. Okay. A lot of men gave their lives. They did it because they wanted to do what was right. This country, imperfect as it is, stands for more right than anywhere else in the world that I know of. And we're also the country that has the resources to do more than any other country in the world. Now, it's interesting people talk about the slave trade in the United States, how bad it was, but I don't see people protesting the slave trade that's going on in Libya today. It's horrific. And it's going on right now as we speak. In India, there are currently an estimated 9 million slaves. In India. In China today, we really don't know how many because you really can't trust any information coming out of China. But they've got huge amounts of slaves. Why don't we protest against that? Because those people don't have one of these. They don't have a Declaration of Independence. They don't have a statement of freedom that their government will honor. We don't see protests regarding the murder of Christians in the Middle East because they don't have one of these. This paper, these men, put these words into action to start a change in the world that never been seen before. Whatever happened to that young man in Tiananmen Square in China? He stood in front of a tank. Nobody knows. I doubt he's alive today. He protested against the communist Chinese government. They don't like that. And they do mean things to people. They're a horrific government. Horrible. This piece of paper, this Declaration of Independence, is a gift from God, in my opinion. And I do not believe we should take it for granted. Now, God made us free, and Satan is trying to take it away. You know, it says in Galatians 5:1 that Christ made us free. Do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. There are two of the main concepts of war if you talk to anybody who knows any military experience. First is cut off the supply lines. Lay siege around a place so you can starve the people out. There's several stories in the Bible about that, where places were under siege. Well, coronavirus is an attempt to cut off our supply lines. It's an attempt by the devil, the enemy, to make sure we don't have the supplies we need. The other thing is to divide and conquer. Mark 3:25, a house divided against itself, that house cannot stand. Now we have racial division, rioting, anarchy, churches being severely affected. Peaceful protests are turned into anarchy and riots. The encouragement of lawlessness to defund the police, political unrest. People afraid to be around other people because of contagion, which divides our family structure and our social community. Social distancing is causing the church to limit live attendance. They are forsaking to live live assembly with the brethren. Like Governor Newsom just passed a law against singing in the church, or Catholics repeating prayers, remembering the Catholic Mass, the priest will say something, and the congregation will answer. And if that needs to be done for health reasons, I respect that. But there's never a mention of the Muslims not being allowed to chant, or the Buddhists not being allowed to chant. And they said nothing about all those protesters out there yelling and screaming and hollering without masks on that they did. Now, I'm all for peaceful protest. Don't misunderstand me. But I believe intelligence and wisdom needs to be done at the same time. And the key word is peaceful protest. You know, we cannot anoint the sick with oil or lay hands on the sick. We can't even evangelize by giving out a tract or a Bible because people are afraid of touching it. It's a challenging times. But let's be real here. Our enemy is the devil. Let's put this in perspective. This is a satanic plan to come against us. Now, Christians do not wrestle against people, but against demonic entities. Number three. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of the age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Now, coronavirus and racism are two of Satan's biggest weapons against Christians today. They combine fear and hate. And as bad as this is today, the future is worse. Remember, the second seal has not been opened up yet. We need to be ready. The body of Christ needs to be ready. We need to do what we need to do. And just as Pastor Joshua said before me, we need to pray for this country. I'm 100% for peaceful protest. I believe strongly in the First Amendment and the freedom of speech. But I'm not for mob rule. For you know, it says in Matthew 8, 9, the centurion says, "For I'm a man under authority with soldiers under me." So he was under authority. He had men under him. He followed the line of authority. Now, this was where Christ says, "Such faith I've never seen." This is what he respected, was this man knew his authority, knew where he stood, and operated appropriately. Okay. You take the looting, the rioting, businesses being over, going under, taking over downtown Seattle with the chop zone. We will never know all the evil done in that zone when there was total anarchy in there. Now, protest? Yes. Peaceful ways to work things through? Yes. Destroying somebody else's livelihood? No. That's not right. That's not godly. Now, I totally respect how wrong it was what happened to George Floyd. It was horrible. But the shop owner 2,000 miles away had nothing to do with that. And when I see BMWs pulling up to loot, it's just stealing, gone amok with justification. And it's wrong. You know. I go to section B, please. With freedom comes responsibility. For it's God's will and intention that by doing right, your good, honest lives should silence, muzzle, gag, be ignorant, charges of the ill-informed criticism of the foolish persons. This is the Amplified Version of 1 Peter 2:15 and 16. Live as free people without employing your freedom as a pretext for wickedness. But live at all times as servants under God. So we have freedoms, but we can't use that as an excuse to be wicked or evil. And those who do are taking advantage of their freedom that's been given to them. Okay? Now, I'm impressed by people who have overcome great challenges. I'm impressed by people who have taken on unbelievable odds and become victory. Now, as most of you know, I grew up in Abraham Lincoln's hometown. It was a fascinating place for me to grow up, being the history person that I am. Lincoln literally saw a slave auction when he was a young man and asked God to be able to do something about it. As you read about his life and the challenge he had, it's obviously Satan knew that he was ordained to do something special because he was attacked and attacked and attacked. In the end, though, he was the man who was able to pass the Emancipation Proclamation and free the slaves. And at one point, one of his conversations, if slavery is not wrong, then nothing is wrong. That's how much he felt about it. This was so horrible. Now, Frederick Douglass was one of Lincoln's advisors. He was also a friend of Abraham Lincoln. Frederick Douglass was a freed slave. He became a very good writer and orator, and he was very instrumental in the emancipation of the slaves, making them free. This is a black man in the 60s that believed in God and used peaceful tools to work with the president to get things changed. And the point is, yes, there was a civil war, but Frederick Douglass used his abilities as God led him to create the change in what was a horrible situation. If you read the story of Booker T. Washington, it's fascinating. He would let nothing stop him from building Tuskegee University. I'm really impressed by George Washington Carver. Now, he's most known for the peanut, because that's what he was famous for. He was actually a very renowned agricultural scientist. And he studied many, many different things, but the peanut's the one he was noted for. So one day a reporter was asking how he learned so much about the peanut. And George Washington Carver replied, "I studied the Bible." The reporter said, "The word peanut is not in the Bible." Carver replied, "The creator of the peanut is in the Bible, who is God." The creator of the peanut was all he needed to know. With you knowing the creator, you can do all things. And that was his answer. I also respect Martin Luther King. His peaceful march changed the thinking of a lot of people. I seriously doubt you can find many people whose attitudes were changed the right way because of the mob rule we've seen the last few weeks in this country. Martin Luther King knew the answer. He knew to walk peacefully and with love. That's how you could do this. Section C. Now, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. 2 Corinthians 3:13, the Amplified Bible. 3:17, excuse me. Now, the Lord is in the Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Emancipation from bondage and freedom. Now, personally, I don't believe I have a racist cell in my body. I grew up in Lincoln's hometown. My parents didn't teach me anything but to be kind to everybody. Prejudice to me is a learned ignorance. If you ever see two toddlers playing together, they don't care about color of skin, backgrounds, whatever. The hatred is learned, it's taught. And the concept of hating somebody, a person, somebody who's you don't even know, just because of some other factor like color or religion, is beyond my comprehension. Now, prejudice comes in many forms. The skin color, religion, of course, is anti-Semitic. You know, you got radical Muslims hating all infidels. Even the color of clothing. We all know the story about the guy who wore the wrong jersey outside of a Dodger ballpark and was beaten up. Okay? Now, I recently had a conversation with Pastor Fred. Now, for those of you who don't know, Pastor Fred was a high-ranking officer in the Crips gang. And the Crips colors were blue. Their arch rivals were the Blood Gang. Of course, the Blood Gang's colors were red. If a gang saw somebody with the wrong color on, it was a fight. And he explained to me it didn't matter if they had the wrong color on. It was a fight. They were going to beat that person. So they hated somebody because of the wrong color of clothing. This is ridiculous. And this is demonic. Now, any and all hate and prejudice is from the devil, and it is evil. In fact, McCarron and I went to the Dodger game one time. Of course, I'm a Cardinal fan. I grew up outside of St. Louis, and I root for the Cardinals. And I told Karen, now, if you're going to marry me, you have to become a Cardinal fan. We can't be unequally yoked here. So we go to the Dodger game, and we're in our red, and of course they're telling us the wrong way to go everywhere because we had our red outfits on. So we finally get to our right seat. The guy looks at me kind of funny. He says, "What are you doing here?" I said, "Well, if it wasn't for me, you wouldn't have anybody to play against." And he laughed at that. And I would compliment the Dodgers on the good play, and I got talked to everybody around us. By the time the whole thing was in, we were all laughing and joking together, forgetting that there was rooting for other teams. In fact, we were going to group people having friends, having fun together. And it was really a good time. Everything that godly is love, and unity is good. There's also an attack now on the police. Defunding the police, in my opinion, is not the answer. The answer is to increase funding, train better, get the bad ones out. Otherwise, we have anarchy. Have you ever thought close to words anarchy and antichrist are? I don't think that's where we want to go as a nation. I don't think having a bunch of people run around without proper authority enforcing the laws is the way to go. I think the 98% of the police officers are good, and the 2% of the bad need to be taken out and prosecuted to the full extent of the law for any crimes they've done. But to disarm an entire police doesn't make sense to me. We have an associate in New York, and they just got $1 billion out of the police department. So when this associate's parents needed help, there was no police to come. I don't think this is the right answer. I think we need to work together in unity. And no matter what the person's background is or occupation is, that is bad, that they're bad people, we need to get rid of those, and the good ones need to take control of this country again. And Pastor Joshua said it right. We need to pray for this country. This country is in severe demonic attack. It is us to pray for it. Matters so much. Now, I didn't know much prejudice growing up, but I didn't like Christians of all people. The minister down the street for me growing up was just weird. I didn't like him. And so many Christians had come in with their Christian attitudes and so forth, and then they wouldn't act Christian. I thought that was really strange. And when I had a restaurant, the Christians would come in and give the waitstaff a hard time. And I saw a waitress go back there and throw her tray down because she's so mad with a Christian treat him. I thought, that doesn't seem very Christ-like. Why would anybody want to belong to an organization where people treat them like that? Okay. But that was the few. And then when I met Karen and fell in love with her, and I had to go from being a Catholic to a Christian, I thought this is going to be a challenge. But then I came out, I met other Christians who were like Christ. And in meeting these other Christians, I said, this is something I can get involved in and follow along. And I sure am glad I did. I had a Muslim try to steal a business from me. And he explained that in his religion, stealing from me, lying to me, even killing me was okay. It didn't matter at all. I thought that was very interesting. Now, I could have taken the tack that, okay, all Muslims are bad, but I didn't. I figured this one person was bad. So fast forwarding a number of years later, I'm out here in California, and a friend of ours who is Muslim, her father died. So we went to the funeral, and I was the first one to get there. Everybody else was delayed. As I'm walking into the funeral, the lady that we knew goes, oh, the priest. And she pulls me up to the front and says, James is a Christian priest. He's going to speak over my father. And I'm thinking, you couldn't let me ease into this, could you? So I get behind the podium. You talk about some daggers. Some people have real upsetness about the fact that I was there. I go, Holy Spirit, you have to lead me and guide me because I have no idea what to do here. And the first thing coming out of my mouth was, I know that you're probably wondering why a Christian minister is here. I said, the answer is because we love this family. And today we're going to focus on the fact that we all worship the God of Abraham. I didn't mention Jesus. I didn't mention anything else. So we're going to focus on the fact we all worship the God of Abraham. And you can just see the emotions come down. You could just see the look on their face as they relax. It says, and then I went on to talk about how this man must have loved his family a lot to have brought them from the Middle East over here to give them a better life, and the challenges he must have went through to do it. And they had a picture of him there. I says, look at these kind eyes in his eye he had there, you know. I says, so today, let's all just be friends. So I did the funeral at the church. Well, it wasn't the mosque, it was at the gravesite. Well, the cemetery. Then I went to the gravesite, did that part. And then they have a big thing where you go to the home and have a big family gathering. At that point, Karen was there with me, and we prayed over the entire family. The interesting thing here was the man that had given me the dirtiest, hardest, most angry looks walked up to me and shook my hand and says, that's one of the best messages I've ever heard. Now, had I let that other Muslim cause me to be hatred, I would have never had a chance to do this. You ready for the punchline? About 2 years later, when Pastor Karen and I were running Gap Church, this family shows up on Easter Sunday of all days to come to our church, and they all said the sinner's prayer. Now, what's important about that is, if I'd let any hatred come in beforehand, those five people wouldn't have been there in our church. But because we feel love and respect and kindness, they open their hearts to hear about Jesus. In every sector, the bad must be weeded out. And not everybody can be labeled because of a few. I like stories of people overcome adversity, as I said before. Daryl Davis is a black musician. And when he found hate from the KKK, started defending Ku Klux Klan members. And because he took the time to befriend them, they learned that he wasn't a bad person and that blacks weren't bad people. Today, over 200 people have left the Klan. Now, that's 200 that have left. We don't know how many have affected. They haven't officially left the Klan yet, but their process has been changed because they've seen something different in this man. This man sowed good, not hate. Okay. There's a movie out called Burden. It's a little too graphic for me to watch, but I've read up about the situation. Mike Burden was a white man who was a grand dragon of the Ku Klux Klan. It was a black minister that helped him get out of the Klan. This black minister showed him love. And Burden had to tell the minister, he says, at one point in time, I had a gun pointed towards you with my finger on the trigger. And they still walked through it all, and they forgave each other. And there's a scene in the movie, well, I've seen the trailer of it, I haven't seen the movie, where Mike Burden is asking them all to forgive him for everything he's done wrong. Because he loved somebody. That preacher cared enough about somebody, even though he was his enemy. Jesus says, love your enemies. We show love to these people. That is the answer. Now, I have to give Pastor Michael Snyder credit for this. He sent me this story. It's fascinating. There are two gentlemen, a Mr. Ford and Mr. Luckett. These two Christians were unaware that Mr. Luckett was one of the descendants of a slave owner, and Mr. Ford was a descendant of slaves that were owned. God had given each man a dream separately to go to a Martin Luther King rally in Washington, D.C., where they met and became friends. They were prayer partners for over 10 years. Only then did they discover their family history, that Mr. Lockett's family owned Mr. Ford's family, and forgave the past generational bondage of the families and blessed each family with God's love, joy, peace, and unity. Even though there's a horrific past, these two gentlemen would remain friends and still are to this day. Now, I like what Mr. Ford had to say. He was telling about how in the slavery, the slave owners didn't want the slaves praying. And the slaves, many of them were Christian. And they would pray into a bucket, a kettle, a big kettle. But what happened was the kettle would stop the sound from going out to where the slave owner could hear it. They passed notes along that there's going to be a meeting tonight. So they knew the church was happening, because if the slave owner in church was happening, he would have been very upset and done some horrific things to them. And they would get together, they would all take turns praying into this bucket. And come to find out there were hundreds of these kettles around the United States, all of them praying for the end of slavery. Prayers work. These prayers are powerful. They show that the answer is love. We talked about Pastor Fred being part of the Crips. Now, Pastor Fred impresses me a lot. Pastor Fred, he really impresses me. When you look where he's come from to where he's at today, he's an encouragement, should be encouraged to everybody who meets him. But recently I was talking to him, and he was explaining to me that he got to meet one of the leaders of the other gang. And he's opened up a door to minister to this other leader. Years ago, they would have killed each other on the street. And now they're ministering together. He is leading an enemy to the Lord. This is fantastic. This shows love. Okay. We should set this example for the rest of the world. I mean, no matter what has happened, we need to forgive as Jesus forgave us on the cross. We often hear what is wrong with the United States, and how many problems and challenges we have, and how we're a bad country. I'm going to say, we're not a perfect country, and we're the first to rush in when help is needed. Here's some excerpts I'd like to read to you. JFK's Secretary of State Dean Rusk was in France in the early 1960s when de Gaulle decided to pull out of NATO. De Gaulle said he wanted all U.S. military out of France as soon as possible. Rusk responded, "Does that include the ones buried here?" De Gaulle did not respond. When in England at a fairly large conference, Colin Powell was asked by the Archbishop of Canterbury if our plans for Iraq were just an example of empire building by George Bush. Colin Powell answered by saying, "Over the years, the United States has sent many of its fine young men and women to great peril to fight for freedom beyond our borders. The only amount of land we've ever asked for in return is to bury those that did not return." There was a conference in France where a number of international engineers were taking part, including French, American. And during a break, one of the French engineers came back to the rooms saying, "Have you heard the latest dumb stunt the American president has done? He sent an aircraft carrier to Indonesia to help the tsunami victims. What does he intend to do, bomb them?" Well, in that group was a Boeing engineer. He stood up and quietly replied, "Our carriers have 3 hospitals on board that can treat several hundred people. They're nuclear powered and can supply energy to electrical power shore facilities. And they have 3 cafeterias with capacity to feed at least 3,000 people, 3 meals a day, and can produce several thousand gallons of fresh water from the sea each day. They carry 6 helicopters for use in transporting victims and injured to and from the flight deck. We have 11 such ships. How many does France have?" And the list goes on and on, but the point is, this country is the country that goes out and helps wherever it's needed. And this country has the resources and supplies to do it. And it does it because we are free to do what we need to do here in this country. I believe God has blessed this country because of our love for Him. I believe this country is the country to hold out the last against the New World Order? And all the good we can do between now and then will be a blessing to the world. But right now, Satan's trying to divide us. He's trying to destroy us. And as Pastor Joshua said earlier, we need to pray together. And we need to pray for the unity of this country. And I don't care if you're Democrat, Republican, Independent, Libertarian, it doesn't matter. The idea is to get us working together for the good of all. Would you agree with me on that? I have a prayer I would like you to follow with. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus.
According to 2 Chronicles 7:14,
we come to you humbly to pray, seek your face, and turn from our wicked ways, and ask you to hear us, forgive us of our sins, and heal our land. Even though
this land has sinned,
we believe here, grace abounds more,
as we guard our heart,
which is the wellspring of life. We forgive everyone
who has ever hurt,
or offended
us,
and we ask you to send. Ministers in the field, to use this challenging time,
to bring people
closer to you, to bring revival,
to the entire world.
We believe
that what the devil
has meant for bad, you Lord,
will turn into good.
Let this change start
with me
to be an example
as I walk
in all the fruit
of the Holy Spirit
which is God's love
joy peace
patience kindness
goodness faithfulness
gentleness
and self control
Lord,
help us remember
to stand fast therefore in liberty
by which Christ
has made us free
and we do not
be entangled again with the yoke of bondage
and also
help us remember
as it says in 2 Corinthians 3:17,
in the Amplified. Now the Lord is the Spirit.
And where the Spirit of the Lord is,
there is liberty.
Emancipation from bondage.
And freedom.
So we ask you,
Heavenly Father, to have the Holy Spirit,
bring another revival,
to our nation,
help our country,
learn to walk,
in God's love,
and conquer,
the bondage of hate,
help me,
become a better example,
of godly love.
Which conquers a multitude
of sins
and brings about peace
and unity
in lives
and in our nation
through the Holy Spirit
who helps us
in the name of Jesus
we pray
Amen.
Thank you all. God bless you all. And I pray that the second half of this year is exceptionally blessed for everybody. In Jesus' name, amen.